Will you please pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Like me, you were probably captivated with all the news stories of what was going on in France this past week. The 850-year-old cathedral was burning at Notre Dame. The newscasters and the journalists all wrote about this story, and they live updated it so we could keep track of just what was going on. And like me, you probably wondered how much would remain when the fires were put out. Article after article that I read, newspaper, news reporter, they all said the same thing. Oh, how tragic, right? The potential loss of all this history, the potential loss of this great historic monument, the most visited tourist destination in all of France. How sad it is. Destruction comes all the time. If you've checked your news this morning, you've heard about the bombings in Sri Lanka. Throughout this past week, you may have heard other stories of the mosque that burned in Jerusalem on the same day the fire was set to the Notre Dame. We live in a world full of darkness and destruction. And every news article that I have read, save one, speaks of the tragedy and how of loss. And that's fine to mourn the loss. But you see, as I look at the Notre Dame, I look at it as one historian looked at it and said, it's 850 years old. The building is not the same. It's been modified. It's been restored. It's been fixed. And it will be fixed again. Because you see, most newscasters, most journalists do not understand what churches and cathedrals are for. And we may have forgotten that ourselves. They're for bearing witness to something. And that something is what we celebrate today on Easter morning. That death does not win. That destruction does not have the final word. That God does. And God's final word is life. I love the way John tells the story of Easter morning. Early in the morning, some translations say while it was still dark. I want you to think about that. While it was still dark in all of their hearts, while it was still dark in the world, God was doing something. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Mary Magdalene. Mary of Magdala, the woman who had followed Jesus all over the place, who had heard his teachings, was the first person on the scene that day. When she showed up, the stone was rolled away, the ropes had been burst, the guards were nowhere to be seen. And there was no body inside. Mary was terrified. She ran to the disciples and said, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." In 1958, my grandfather died. My mother was four. And for the next 30 years, I had no idea what was happening. But when I became aware of what we would do at our Sunday rituals, every Sunday my grandmother would go to his gravesite. She would go and she'd check the flowers, make sure there were flowers there. If there weren't, she would bring some. And we would stay there. My brother and I would play in the cemetery while my grandmother looked at her beloved's stone. I imagine that she prayed when she was there, but I don't know. I was a kid. I didn't pay any attention to that. I was counting flags or flowers or playing tag with my brother. But every Sunday we would go. And my grandmother did this until the day that she couldn't drive anymore. To understand what Mary Magdalene might have been feeling that day, I have to think that what it might have been like for my grandmother to go to her beloved's gravesite and to find only a hole dug and the stone removed. Then I begin to understand the sorrow that Mary Magdalene might have been feeling that day. Now, I don't want to give any credence to the idea that Mary and Jesus were married, because that's pulp fiction, and we like that. It's exciting, but that's not what we think about. Mary loved Jesus, and she went to go mourn him and to prepare his body for decomposition. And when she got there, he was gone. And she broke down. She ran to tell the disciples, and they had a race to get there. I'm sure you were paying attention while Ed was reading, so you know who the fastest disciple was, because he made a point of writing it three times. And they went in, and it says they believed. What's interesting there is that the word isn't just believe, the word is trusted also. And this word is very important for John, because John uses it half of the times it shows up in the Bible. If you do a word search in the Bible, the word in Greek that is used for the word believed here shows up around 230 times. And about 115 of those times are in John's writings. So it's very important to him what you believe or what you trust in or what Jesus trusts in you. And so these disciples, they went in and they saw the empty tomb and they believed. But what they did next is interesting, because they left. And not only did they leave the tomb having believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they left Mary there. Crazy emotional women. Leave her alone, she'll cry her eyes out, and then she'll come to her senses and realize that Jesus is resurrected. But Mary made the better choice. She stayed in that place. The place of her sorrow, the place of her darkness. I don't know why she did that. But what happened next is amazing, isn't it? She was sitting there and she cried and she looked in the tomb and she saw two people there wearing white robes. And seeing people, she didn't register probably that they were angels, because she was sad. I wouldn't recognize a messenger from God in my sorrow either. She should have thought, well, ask them, where's Jesus? And then somebody behind her speaks up and says, excuse me, ma'am. Why are you crying? And I don't know why, this is an aside, but I don't even know why, but every time I hear this, I hear it in Wendy's voice from Peter Pan. Boy, why are you crying? Except in this case, it's girl, why are you crying? And Mary says, I came to see Jesus and he's gone and I don't know where they've put him. And then he calls her by name. As only God can do, right? God knows your name. He speaks her name. And in that, she hears and recognizes his voice. She stands up, turns around, and there's Jesus. In her sorrow, in the place where she was most needing God, God showed up. In her deepest sadness, her deepest despair, God showed up. When the disciples abandoned her, left her alone, when she probably needed someone to sit with her, God showed up. And when God showed up, her sorrow turned to joy. This is the prayer that I pray for everyone who is in heartache. And I hope it's the prayer you pray for everyone when you know they're in heartache. God, show up that they may see joy again. God, show up and let them know that you are there. Show them your resurrection. Show them that life triumphs over death, that you have the victory, O God. Show them that the story is true. That the tomb was empty, but it wasn't empty because someone came and took the body. It was empty because you walked out. See, this is the story of which all of Christianity revolves around, on what we believe, like those disciples. And some of us see an empty tomb and we believe and we get up and we go away on our own merry way. Some of us stay in that place and we believe, even in our heartache, that God can show up and does and is with us even when we don't feel His presence there, and we mistake His presence for somebody else, like a gardener. This is the story that informs who we are and how we live. How we look at Notre Dame burning and say, that is not the end. This is not the word that defines who we are. How we mourn with those black churches over the last 197 years who have been burned out of spite and because of hatred, who've continued to worship a risen Lord, because they know that out of the ashes life comes. Those Christians who are in the churches and around the churches today in Sri Lanka will continue to gather and continue to worship because we worship a resurrection Lord. Just as we have been doing for the last 2,000 or so years, Christians continue to gather to proclaim that life in God conquers all things. That the God who gives us this life has it available to any who would ask. That the God who shows up to Mary in her darkness and calls her by name is still the same God, waiting for us to stand up and turn around and recognize His presence among us. Christianity isn't some pie in the sky, happy-go-lucky, everything is okay religion. It is a religion that says, even in the darkest of moments, our God is there, doing something, bringing life, where all we can see is death. This is the message of Easter. And this is why Easter lasts for 50 days. This is why theologians say Easter is a time of celebration, of champagne and caviar and wonderful things, because the kingdom has come near. It is proof positive that God has the victory. So while we gather today and eat our ham and our pineapple and our wonderful things that we like, know that today is just the first of 50 days of celebration. Of celebration that even in the charred husk of a cathedral, God's people can gather and celebrate resurrection. Celebrate newness of life. Because our God holds the victory. Our God has conquered death. Hallelujah. Amen.